Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. It is a very busy Tuesday, and we're going to trust the Holy Spirit to bring us in the direction that He wants us to go in. So I want to appreciate right now you who have taken your time out to join this conversation this morning. You're listening to The Watchman on the Omega Radio Network at omegaradio.org and The Watchman on blogtalkradio.com/X-Man777. Perhaps you're calling into the program at 818-369-0326, or you're watching us live on YouTube at New Wine Ministry TV. Again, we want to welcome you to whatever platform you're tuning in right now. And I would invite your mind, your soul, your spirit, your body right now to be focused on what we're going to talk about today. And so, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would guide us by your Holy Spirit, that the purpose of this broadcast will fulfill its intended meaning. In Jesus' name, Lord, talk to us today. Let us know what time it is in your economy and what it is that you're doing around the world. Well, we woke up this morning in Jesus' name, by the way, the only name that we give allegiance to, praise God. So we woke up this morning, and of course, we were hearing about the impeachment inquiry, and they launched two articles of impeachment against the President of the United States, six of them from the left, Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, and Maxine Waters, and three other people were joined in formalizing the impeachment before Christmas. And so I was looking at that, and I really felt like the Holy Spirit just dropped this into my spirit about what we're watching right now. It's remarkable, quite frankly, what we are seeing. And of course, our job is to look through the biblical lens at the signs of the times. And so I want to interpret what I'm seeing in the world today. I'm not going to ignore world events. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm not going to ignore what's going on in news. I just can't, because I want to interpret it properly. If it's a big hoax, if it's a big game, you know, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit is faithful to reveal truth to those that are seeking the truth. And I truly believe that God is wanting to equip His end time army and with knowledge, information, wisdom, revelation. I believe that with all of my heart. So We want to interpret properly what we're seeing. So what is it that I saw this morning? What did I wake up to this morning on December 10th, 2019, just 20 days away, 21 days away from the 2020 season in the Gregorian calendar? What I heard in my spirit is what we are witnessing are the global architects designing their Tower of Babel. There's no way what we are witnessing right now in America is an American issue. Rather, what we are witnessing in America are the global architects preparing the demolition of the obstruction that is in their way, i.e. the American people, the real American people. The people of America who know and understand that the reason why the whole Ukrainian deal was started in the first place was because the president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump, that he was uncovering the corruption that was in the administration before him. Really, he didn't have any concern about Sloppy Joe or Sleepy Joe or Creepy Joe Biden to be a real rival in the 2020 elections. Joe was undoing his own election campaign by his own actions. He certainly didn't need to be a part of an obstruction to the American people. And for the left to be saying that the president of the United States is creating a national emergency by exposing what Hunter Biden and Joe Biden were doing under the Obama administration in the Ukraine, it was probably more like the Ukrainian president working with the American president to expose the corruption or maybe even some of the control that the Ukrainians came under by the real quid pro quo from Vice President Joe Biden. And so, without going into too much detail, you know, the devil, he always flips everything. He spins everything. You know, he's accusing the people of what he does, right? So without getting into further detail on that, regardless of what the truth is, what we are witnessing, again, I want to say for the third time, are the global architects, that are now preparing the demolition of the obstruction to their new world order, which was prepared long ago with a visionary date of 2020. We said this months ago. I told our congregation that you're going to hear much about 2020 being the year of vision and clarity and all these things. And sure enough, it's beginning to happen. But 2020 is the goal. 2020 is the moment in the global new world order mindset. So again, I want you to concentrate on this, and then we're going to get back into the word. I want you to concentrate and focus and consider and pray that what is happening in America today with the impeachment inquiries has nothing to do with a sovereign U.S. American real problem. What it is are the globalists outside of America influencing our government in the highest echelons to bring a division, because knowing a house divided cannot stand is going to lead to one of two things. So you have global influence taking place, I believe. Now, I could be totally wrong about all of this, okay? But this is the impression I received from the Holy Spirit, and I believe it's consistent with the Word of God. Time will tell. One of two things is going to happen at the end of this path that we are on right now. One of two things. And that is that the influence of the outside global arena is going to spark a revolution and a civil war in the United States so violent and so vicious that what we have seen in Baltimore, Maryland, what we saw in Ferguson, Missouri, what we saw in South Carolina, I'm talking about the protests, the demonstrations, the fires, the destruction of private property and public property and governmental property. What we saw with Antifa, what we saw in Dallas, Texas, where 5 police officers were shot and killed, 12 were injured. You don't forget the Dallas shootings from Antifa. You're going to see Black Lives Matter is going to rise. You're going to see the race card played. I mean, the global influencers, the global architects have no problem with creating a revolution within the United States by projecting anger and projecting violence and projecting hatred. And that is what is being stirred on a mass level in mind control and the conditioning of the mind of the masses within a nation. Okay. And why is this all happening? Well, if you step back, it's because of our collective sin. There's nobody in our country really innocent, especially those who were silent during the years of mass murder of abortion and who sat back and did virtually nothing when the abominations were promoted in our legal system. But that's another story for another time. But right now, what is happening with the global architects that need their global one world government empire to rise, because they're looking for their prince, they're looking for their king, their messiah, which is the lord of darkness, the Luciferian antichrist, to come to power. Okay, this has got to happen. This is where it's all going for them, the globalists. The globalists are setting the stage and building this empire for their man of sin. Now, how is it going to be accomplished? How is it going to be achieved? These impeachments are going to do one of two things with the American people. If Donald J. Trump is genuinely impeached, if they remove him from office, there is the intended purpose to create the violent revolution, to create a civil war, to bring this nation, which will fulfill Dmitri Dudeman's prophecy, the Romanian prophet who said that there will be such internal problems that the government will be all caught up in, that's when foreign nations would come. So if you're a globalist, your greatest dream is to see internal conflict, because when the people internally are conflicted and are engaged in an internal battle, what a great time for outside forces, global forces, UN forces, to come and take over the nation. Now, the United Nations might be, quote unquote, the peacekeeping people that are going to come in. Now, listen, I want to tell you something. In China right now, you have over 2 billion people that are under absolute control of their government. Okay. And what the globalists will do, they recognize when this first potential problem of internal strife and division and civil war and revolution and violence and conflict and struggle within ourselves here in this country, they will bring a peacekeeping power that will treat the American people like they've never been treated before, because it will be a foreign, hostile power empowered to quell the division within our nation. They will declare martial law, perhaps. Whatever the case may be, the American people will be confronted by a hostile foreign power, whether it's the United Nations or whatever it is. And you're talking 300 million people, 360 million people in our country, where with a global peacekeeping, quote unquote, military foreign power by a billion if need be, or, you know, 200 million man army. And the 360 million people in America certainly are not all military people. You know that as well as I do. And so they would just come under the power of a regime, a global regime. However, if this plan does not work and the American people sit back and do nothing about the illegal impeachment that's taking place, and they just cooperate and they go with the flow through a spirit of apathy, well, the same purpose of the globalists will succeed. The people, through their apathy, will just submit to the foreign power, and the globalist agenda will be activated in the United States of America regardless. whether it is by civil war and revolution and violence or by apathy. Either way, the global architects at this moment are forming the demolition or the removal of the obstruction. The American people, either by willing apathy or by violence, either way, there's going to come forth the global new world order. And that is a very real deal. And so the American people are going to have to ask themselves at this time, what is my proper response to what's going on in America today? The American people, I'm talking about the real, genuine American people. Whatever the color of skin, whatever country you came from, whatever, you are an American, right? You have a constitution, a bill of rights. You are an American citizen. What is the proper response from the American people recognizing, realizing that the global architects have seen this moment in their forward or looking into the future by their looking glass, so to speak, this is their arrival date. 2020 is the arrival date for the New World Order to collapse or to demolish the interference with their global agenda, okay? So what is the proper response? Are we to be apathetic, or are we to shout from the rooftops and not do anything to stop the illegal coup that is going on in the United States? Or will the patriots of the United States of America get behind Donald J. Trump, and will he lead a revolution and bring forth civil disobedience and violence that will necessitate martial law, which will usher in foreign powers to bring about the subduing of the people, whether the people are subdued by force or by their own apathy? And I'm going over that again and again. I want you to get this in your mind. I believe this is what the Holy Spirit is revealing. So what are the American people supposed to do? Is there a third way out? I don't see it for the American people, okay? Because if this president is removed and the left has their way, backed by the global community, they are going to put in positions of power within this nation that which supports their ideology and their intended purpose for global governance. Okay, this is all about the global architects of the times we're living in, through the United Nations to all over the world. Now, it's moving fast. Artificial intelligence is moving fast. The global community is moving fast. Things are happening. The bars are going up quickly. And so from a biblical perspective, what is the response, the proper response of the men and women of God who are living at this time on the earth? Well, I think that's a pretty good question, because right now, as it stands, now what may happen, let's give another scenario before I move forward. Another scenario is that the impeachment goes forward, but then the Senate comes and knocks it down. It all turns like a boomerang, which is my personal prayer, that like a boomerang, this thing's going to come back and hit the left right in the head and the globalist. All right. Now, that would be a hope. That would be a prayer. And again, the sovereignty and the independence of the United States of America, standing for true American values, which are moral and natural and are constitutional and, have everything within those documents, biblical, very powerful Christian principle and ethic. Okay. So the boomerang effect would be an awesome thing. But what would the left's response be if they failed in their attempt that we just talked about? And what if 2020 came around and Donald J. Trump won the 2020 elections? Well, how would the globalist community respond to that? And that's something you ask, well, how far will the left go? Will they assassinate the president? Will there be a red flag event or a false flag event? How far will they go, the global community, to advance their cause? Would they want to wait another 4 years? Well, a lot of Bible prophecy students are looking at 2020 as a very critical turning point in the history of not only this country, but of the world. Many Bible prophecy students are believing that 2020 is the macro shift. In other words, this is where everything breaks loose and Bible prophecy is fulfilled, namely the prophecy written in the back of our books called the Bible, known as the Revelation. The Revelation is a prophecy, and it has never been fulfilled like it is written, and yet 2020 is the time where much of that prophecy will advance with an accelerated thrust, and 2020 seems to be that shifting into overdrive and taking things in a direction that few people will have ever dreamt or expected, because this prophecy is very powerful. So with all these different scenarios, I want to get back to what is important for you and I. What is important for God's end time people? We are living in the most amazing moment of time. Wouldn't you say it's historical in many ways? I mean, what a historical moment we are living in. And as Christian men and women, each one of us has a purpose for being here if we are really tuned into the Spirit of God. Would you agree? Your life is not without meaning. It's only important that we find out what we're doing here. What is my part? What is the plan? Well, I have kind of boiled this down to something very, very simple. And I want to talk to you about it, okay? And then I want to get it straightened out because I think there's some misunderstanding about this. I have simplified what I'm supposed to be doing this way. Number one, I do not belong to myself. I have been purchased. I have been bought. I am owned by God, and so are you. God has ownership of my life. I remember when I went into the military, the Navy, as a young man, that the moment I showed up after the AFES station and I showed up at boot camp in Nimitz in San Diego, California, I knew that very moment I got off that train that I was not my own anymore, that I belonged to an institution of power known as the United States Navy. And I knew at that moment I was not my own. And I know in the same way that as a Christian man, that I do not belong to myself. My life. Now, if this doesn't have to be, I mean, just because we're Christians, we don't have to, you know, this statement isn't just, well, that's the way it is. No, it is a choice, because I could claim to be a Christian, but still have power over my own life. And the problem is, if I have power over my own life, I've never joined or I've never really submitted to your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. So I have to make sure that what I'm saying is a reality. And quite frankly, it takes the load off of me to know that I belong to God. He has ownership. And so he does with me what he wants me to do. He sets me where he wants me to be set. As a matter of fact, in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is actually how it works. And if you want to turn there with me for just a moment, I would like to read a few verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to just put this on my screen for just a moment. Spiritual. Oops. All right. So let's go here and go this way. So let me read a few verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and beginning in verse 1. Listen to these powerful verses. This is what I'm saying, but I'm going to let the Bible say it right now. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, in that no man could say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. Now listen carefully. Watch where Paul takes this. He says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Okay? For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But listen now. But God, right? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. Now there is the true, genuine body of Christ. A body that sets itself through college, through university, through seminary, through denominational influences, a body that is basically orchestrated by man is not the true body of Christ. And what you just saw is the true body of Christ. And I want to read verse 18 again. But now has God, this is God doing this. Now has God set the members, God has set the members, every one of them in the body as it has pleased him. Now, what am I referencing here? The simplicity of belonging to God is that God sets you where he wants you to be. I don't have to worry about my part. I don't have to worry about what I'm supposed to do. If I am a submitted member and I really belong to God, he sets me. He puts me where he wants me to be. And I wind up doing exactly what he wants me to do. I live the life that God has ordained. I've got to give me 10 seconds here to get over here and let little Maxie's having a problem. All right. So again, sorry about the little interruption there, but this is what it is to be live. So again, it's important for you and I, if we really want to know how to respond to the times that we're in right now, we need to understand again that this is, he is the commander. So again, I'm asking this question today in light of what's going on before our very eyes at this very moment within our nation. I'm asking the question, what is the biblical response to the end time army of God? And I want to ask you a question. What do you know about God's army? We just read that God is the commander in chief. We know that Israel was an army. We know that King David was a warrior. We know that God's people, even Abraham, before there was an old covenant, before there was ever a Mosaic law, We know that Abraham was a warrior. We know that when his nephew Lot was captured by the kings in the days of Abraham, that Abraham rallied 300 men or 400 men unto himself, and they went to war to recover everything that those foreign kings had taken. So even in the Abrahamic dispensation of faith, there was an army, and there was a Melchizedek that met Abraham after this battle. And there was acceptance and tithes and offerings and that type of thing that Abraham gave to Melchizedek. So if we're going to fast forward to where we are today, we have to ask this question: is there an end time army? And I forgive me for this. I have to do it. I want to dispel something. Okay. And it's not easy to do things like this, but maybe this is where our conversation will develop here in just a moment, where you could call into the broadcast and share your thoughts about this issue. But I want to go to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. And I want to lay this out, so please listen carefully to what I'm about to say. In Joel chapter 2, songs have been written about Joel's army, okay? And sermons have been preached about Joel's army. And many, many years ago, I read Joel chapter 2 in context, okay, of what the entire book of Joel is all about, and I discovered something. And I couldn't figure out why everybody was singing, "God's got an army," or "They run on the city, they run on the wall. Great is the army that carries out his word." And everybody danced to Joel's army, Joel chapter 2 army, as though that was God's army. And it is God's army, but it's not the army that we think it is. Now, some of you may say to yourself, well, regardless if it's God's army or not, it's the way things should be done. And that's possible. I don't argue that. But in order to get the truth about who the end time army of God is, if there's an end time army of God, and obviously we believe there is, well, then we need to properly describe that end time army. But let's look at Joel chapter 2 for just a moment and see, is this you and me? Are you and I, the end time born again, spirit filled Christians, is this us? Well, let's take a look, okay? It says in Joel, and I'm going to put this up on my screen because it's a lot easier to do it this way. And I want to put it up in the, here we go, and blow ye the trumpet, right? So we're going to blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Blow ye the trumpet. Here we go. Now, in Joel chapter 2, verse 1, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Now there's a trumpet blasting. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord comes, for it is nigh at hand. So in verse 1, the people in Zion are hearing a trumpet and a sound of alarm, and the whole land is going to tremble. Why? Because the day of the Lord is coming. What is that day of the Lord? Well, verse 2, it's a day of darkness and of gloominess. It's a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There has not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Well, who are these great people and strong that there's never been anybody like them? Is it you and I? Before you answer that question, let's go to verse 3. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. So we're talking about a massive army, great and strong, that is coming to cause the entire land to tremble. There's a sound of a trumpet in the land, and it's an alarm to the people of the land, Zion, and these people are coming. And what is their appearance like in verse 4? The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses and as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains, shall they leap, like the noise of a flame, a fire that devours the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. Boy, it sounds like a supernatural army. Well-organized, well-instructed, walking in their ranks. They know where they set. They know where they belong. This is a supernatural army. They fall on a sword and they're not even wounded by it. Verse 9 goes on to say, they shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They should climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Watch now. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Where's this army being sent? In context, you know, chapter 1 was all about the locust invasion. You know, in the rest of chapter 2 is about a locust, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army that I sent among you, his own people, to devour and to steal and to take. Because of their sin, this army of locusts and caterpillars was demonic in a sense, even though God commanded it, but it's no different than what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 10, when God raised up the Assyrians to be a massive military power against Israel, and the weapon in their hand was God's indignation. Come on, same thing. A foreign power, but under God's sovereign control, because God could use anything he wants, including Nebuchadnezzar, right? So this goes on to say, in verse 12, therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your heart, not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repents him of the evil. So this trumpet sounded in the land. This alarm caused the land to tremble. A foreign power was coming on the land of Israel. It was a wipeout army that was coming in ranks and in power and in military fashion like we have never seen before. You've seen military powers marching through the streets in Seoul, Korea, or North Korea, or the United States in their parades. You've seen in Great Britain and other military powers around the world how they march with an exact step. You've seen that with their rockets and their bombs being paraded down the streets, right? Well, this army that is being referred to is going to wipe out everything in its path. The Garden of Eden is before them. Behind them, it's desolation. This is not the holy remnant of God. This is not God's army in the sense of end time Christian men and women. Now, is it possible that God's genuine end time army is going to be super powerful? Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we learned that the very church in the book of Hebrews means militant, triumphant. So we're talking about an end-time militant, triumphant ecclesia, all right? Now, but before I get there, God's calling his people to repentance. It's kind of like what we were just talking about in America, that the global architects have a design to demolition or to demolish that which is in their way. the American people that stand for the sovereignty of the United States of America. So if God wanted to bring a foreign power to the United States, a global foreign power, to demolish the interference to their global plan, and the power that they would be given is the power because of our sin, what we've allowed to happen in our country. We're not innocent. We have sinned against the Lord. I want you to just think about that for just a moment, if you would. I've got to go rescue my little dog, Max. I'll be right back. Yes, only on live TV, right? All right, so I want to get back to Joel chapter 2 in verse 14, or no, verse 13. He said, "Rend your heart, not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repents him of the evil." So God is bringing evil, this end time army that he's bringing in the days of Joel, is evil. It's not good. Can we agree to that? But if his people, who are called by his name, repent and turn from their wicked ways and rend their heart, not just their garments, God will repent from the evil that he was sending. Verse 14, who knows if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, those that suck the breast, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. There's God's end time army. A people that fast, who are broken, surrendered to God, that are set in a body that is indestructible. That's a powerful army. Now, let the priest, in verse 17, the ministers of the altar, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, "Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not your heritage to reproach." So this army that was referred to is an army of evil. It's an army that brings reproach that the heathen should rule over them. They are a heathen army. Wherefore should they say among the people, "Where is their God?" So you need to know something. When you go to church and you sing, "They run on the city," they run, you're singing about an evil, heathenistic army that brings reproach to the people of God. And so let's clarify and let the word of God speak here. And let's get rid of a false paradigm of the army. We better find out what the real army is, right? I mean, I think that's pretty accurate. Well, here's what I love. It says, when the people repent, it says in verse 18, then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer. Now listen carefully. There's a key here. Yea, the Lord will answer and say to his people, "Behold, I send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. His stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he has done great things." Now, who's the northern army? This was not the locust. They came out of the south. Probably talking about the Assyrians or the Chaldeans. And it's most likely it was the Assyrians at that time. My point, all right, there has to be an end time army of God's people. I happen to believe that the scriptures conclude, especially Paul writing to Timothy, that no soldier entangles himself in the affairs of this life. So the word of God talks about soldiers. And if you're a soldier, you belong to an army. There's no doubt about it. So God has an end time people, but who are they? And what are they like? It's that body of Christ that the Holy Spirit and God himself takes your life and sets you as a functioning member. And when you are set by God because you've surrendered your life actually fulfills his purpose. You don't have to worry about what you're supposed to do. You just, you know, your finger doesn't wake up every morning and go, okay, I'm a finger today. What am I supposed to do? No, your finger just does whatever the mind tells it to do all day long. It's not concerned. And I'm telling you that you do not have to be concerned. You just have to be submitted. You have to be surrendered. You have to belong to God in your spirit, soul, and body and stop taking control of your life and let God move you sovereignly as he wills. Isn't that easy? Isn't that easy? And if God gave you lungs to speak, then you're going to speak like the oracles of God. Maybe there's another function for you. And that's why people should not get bent out of shape by other people's functions. Every member of this end time army, this body of Yeshua, will function supernaturally under the mind of Christ. I'm taking pressure off of you, church. You don't need to figure it out. He's already figured it out. He knows exactly what you're supposed to be doing. All right, I don't want to belabor the point too much, but that's just kind of where I'm at with my thinking. And it's 9:46. I would like to open up the telephone lines. Maybe you have a question or comment about what we're talking about today, and you would like to share something along the way. The number to call is 818-369-0326. That's 818-369-0326. The supernatural end time army of God are you and I right here, right now. It's not in the future. But what it means is that we are so genuinely purchased by the blood of Christ. The Holy Spirit is sanctifying us from the inside out, sanctifying our thoughts. I want to give you something, okay? I'm shifting, so stay with me. Most important thing you're going to hear right now, and it's only something for you to consider, all right? How many of you have ever heard that in the Hebrew? Well, let me take my first call first this morning before I go any further. Let us take this call coming in from area code 479-586. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor. This is Bill. Digressing just a little bit because I love the chapter of Joel and the end time army, but digressing to the impeachment. Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, says that you accuse others of what you're doing. In other words, you put the onus on them and put them on the defensive, and that takes the light off of you. That's what these Democrats are doing, is they're taking the light off of themselves and they're trying to put it on Trump. They're accusing him of what they've been doing all along. And isn't it ironic that only a couple of people are actually speaking out in his defense that are supposed to be so-called conservative, but the so-called elected officials that we have even in our state and in our area aren't saying a word. Why are they not saying a word? Because they're afraid they might offend some of their constituents who are actually Democrats also. In other words, if you're sleeping with them, then why upset them? Don't stir up the hornet's nest. So we don't have anybody in our area defending the president. You know, if he's right and righteousness is right, then you have to stand up for righteousness. But they're more concerned about getting reelected than standing up for that which is right. And so when Joel's end time army does come, a lot of these people are going to go by the wayside real quickly. So anyway, just food for thought. I'll hang up and listen, Pastor.
All right, very good. Well, thank you for that call. Let's take our next call this morning coming in. But before I do take this next call, I just want to respond to that. It's not just I don't believe that it's just the politicians wanting a second, job here. I believe that this is a spiritual satanic coup to eradicate, eliminate, demolish, get out of the way the obstruction to the global New World Order. Again, I want to go back to these people are the New World Order global architects, and this is the design moment to eradicate, get out of the way the American people that have stood in the way And so I think that this is just a little bit beyond that. Let's take our next call. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Area code 605.
Hello. Yes.
Good morning.
I have something comment here concerning the situation that President Trump is in, and also what the end time army of God are coming up against and will be in. Now, in the book of Psalms, and David, who was a king, in 140, it says, he cried to God himself. He said, deliver me, O Lord, from evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for war. They hate. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Now that is in Psalms 140. We, the people of God, are going to be hated because we're up against Satan himself, and they've taken over. Satan has taken over the minds of these people. There is such hatred and anger. But as we go on, and the glory of the Lord is going to be shown upon his people, his army, just like the intervention, I believe, but the blood of Jesus is our covering, just like in the Bible, Moses, God was with Moses, he won. Mordecai and even Joseph's own brothers hated him. But look what, in the end, what God did with Joseph. So now, as we see all this coming upon us here in America, which we've never had this kind of persecution like we're coming into now, and we're going to be hated, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I don't know. That's the way I kind of see it. Thank you.
Well, absolutely. Great comments once again. Yes. And that is the point. The end time army of God will have the greatness of the power of God in intercession. All right. And what do you think about maybe God's end time army of radical warriors being radical worshipers and radical intercessors that are praying? I mean, imagine every true member that has been set in the body that God would just tell, pray. And they began to intercede for what? You see, I don't know about many of you out there. Honest to God, I love life like you love life. And I thank God for life. And I thank God for salvation. I want as many souls to be saved. I would to God that everybody on the planet would be saved because that's God's will. And wouldn't it be awesome? And one day the whole planet is going to resonate with people that are born again, new nature, God's image restored. I want his kingdom to come, but I've got to share this. I'm going to divert for just a moment. I want to see La, and I'm going to share something with you that I think may change your life. It's already beginning in my own, okay? This may change your life. I hope it does. Maybe you've learned, maybe you've studied, what I'm giving you now is a fact, okay? And it's truth. When you read in the Hebrew, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, in the Hebrew language, what happens is there is an entire picture. It opens a window in the Hebrew language. It's not just mathematical, but it is imagery. A colorful picture takes place in the mind when you really look at in the beginning. It's a magnificent picture of Yahweh and his son. It's so magnificent. All you got to do is study it out. And the words produce pictures. The words produce images in the mind. A lot of Christians have a lot of images going on in their minds. Not all of them are sanctified. Not all of them are good. But you have images swirling in your mind. One word somebody speaks could create an actual image in your mind. Well, what about an army in the last days that is so sanctified that when they speak a word, images begin to develop, like the book of Revelation when John went into the throne room of heaven, right? A voice come up and suddenly he saw. What if God spoke and people saw the meaning of what God was saying? What if you began to have revelation, insight? What if when the words of God were spoken, they weren't head knowledge, but suddenly they became the pictures and the imaginations, and you saw with your eyes of faith, with your spiritual eyes, with your sanctified imagination, what God is doing or what God is saying? You see it rather than just hear it with knowledge. I mean, to me, that is where God is taking the true end time army of God, that he is going to speak a word into the members and they're going to see what God is showing them and then carry it out. So there's not going to be any confusion in the orders. See, it's already happening if you want to know the truth. People talk and people see. People talk and people see. Unfortunately, we have been so defiled by our sin that our imagination has not yet been cleansed from the defiled portion, the satanic, the darkness. But God is saying that his end time army is going to be so washed in the blood of the Lamb, so cleansed by the grace of God, so deeply forgiven and every etching of the demonic eradicated and cleaned out, that God is going to begin to download the images, the sanctified imagination. Let's take this next call coming in, 479-321. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Hello, you're on the air, 479-321.
Sorry, I didn't pick up quick enough. There's so many subjects that we're covering today. I'm not sure that this is relevant, but President Trump, I think the mainstream media really has it wrong, because right now, with his House impeachment things, President Trump has them right where he wants them, because he wants a Senate trial. Then the truth will come out. The Lord is in charge, and I think when the truth comes out, it is really going to be devastating to the dark side.
Okay, very good. That is definitely a thought that we have considered. And again, if it all boomerangs and comes back, what would the left do? How desperate would the left become? False flag, assassination, or just totally subdued? And what you have to do is look at the signs of the times of our nation. What is the condition of our nation? When Israel was in as much trouble as it was, God called them to repentance, not just of outward repentance, not just to rend the garment, but the heart. And so it's very important that we, the church, right? We're talking about an end time army. Are we fully repentant? Are we washed? Are we cleansed? Because this is way beyond just government and politics. You know that. I know that. It's not about a sovereign, independent nation having a problem within itself. This is having to do with everything global, everything end times. A superpower nation has to be taken out of the way if it's not moving along with the globalist agenda, the satanic agenda. So it all boils down to purification, doesn't it? Waiting for your call. I've got about a minute left, and what I'm going to do is turn this over to Patricia Joy Xavier. She's going to be broadcasting live on YouTube, and she'll also be speaking on Blog Talk Radio, and she'll be speaking on Omega Radio. That's coming up in about 60 seconds, and I think that we've pretty well brought some thoughts out for you today. I hope they were helpful. I truly do. There's a lot going on in our world today, folks. There's a lot going on in this country today, and we're wanting to, again, discern and interpret it through the biblical lens by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I hope there was something said today to equip you further for your journey. And so without further ado, I'm going to bring my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier, into the broadcast. And so let me welcome her. Good morning, Patricia Joy. How are you today?
I am doing very well, thank you. And it was a wonderful program, as usual, of information so necessary for the times we're in to help us be built up as the Christian body. Thank you. Well, I appreciate it.
You are welcome. And now I'm going to leave it to you. Take it away. Have a blessed 30 minutes here, and may God help you to get everything out to those that are staying with us today.
Hallelujah. Patricia Joy. Thank you. Okay. My question to you today is, are you looking for a book that provides concrete spiritual evidence of the significance to Jesus of the ministry of casting out demons and its significance for the church today? I am Patricia Xavier, co-pastor with Vincent, my husband Vincent Xavier, and today I will be reading from my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. Through this book, you learn practice, a way of helpful information of the nature of demons. And it's important to know that, because without knowing their nature, you could be so deceived with their operation in your own life. And you may say, oh, a Christian cannot have a demon. Well, we're going to learn how that may not be a reality. And the truth is in the matter is that, yes, a Christian could have a demon. You see, we have to realize that the devil will consider the body of a person his or her house and his earthly home also. And if he is allowed in and the Christian does not cast him out, we're in trouble. Now, these devils, they'll wander through dry places after they have been cast out, seeking whom they can enter into. If they find an unsuspecting and uninformed Christian, listen to me again, an unsuspecting and uninformed Christian with a door left open to sin, they will enter in. Don't believe that anything is going to stop that from happening. Excuse me, I have to get a little more comfortable. It will happen. It is up to you to make this work of God a truth in your life by putting him on. And that means with wisdom also. Someone who has just been delivered could be a target also. Because listen to the word of God. As Jesus said in Matthew 12, 43 through 45, when the unclean spirit, meaning the devil, is gone out of a man, he will walk through dry places seeking rest and finding none. And then he says, and who says? The devil, I will return into my house whence I come out. And when he is come, he finds it empty, not filled with the Holy Spirit, not informed of your legal rights, but swept clean and garnished, meaning religious, but ignorant of the word. Then goes he, the devil, and takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And Jesus finishes by reminding us, even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. And body of Christ, we are in a wicked generation after 2,000 years. We have entered into a tremendous wicked generation. The Bible says even greater than it has ever been from the foundation of this earth. Wickedness will prevail. Now, we must not only know our legal rights, it's so important. And again, that is why I wrote the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. we have to know our legal rights in the heavenly realm and before the courtrooms of heaven. We have to know our legal rights in casting out the unwanted spirits. But we must continue to keep ourselves in a state of alert preparedness today, especially more than ever before, so that we can keep the intruders out of our domain and our territory, meaning our very being and all that is around and about us. Now, you know, Jesus Christ had no sin in him. And the word says that when Satan came, he could find nothing, no sin in him. Well, the evil spirit could not trespass on this holy ground because Jesus was without sin and knew his legal rights. I dare say the average Christian today is not without sin. In fact, in the error of teaching has been told that they will always be in sin until they die and go to heaven. But they receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Therefore, they'll be okay. Well, Jesus knew his legal rights. We need to do the same. He said, as I have done, you shall do also, even greater, because I go to the Father to send my Holy Spirit. Because Jesus was without sin and knew his legal rights, Satan could not touch him. There is another scripture in 1 John 5:18 that says, if a Christian keeps themselves when the evil one comes, he cannot be touched either. What is keeping ourselves? Well, this is what my teaching is all about, to keep ourselves without sin and to overcome the wicked one through generational bloodline curses and other domains of familiar spirits. You see, the devil goes to the courtrooms of God and says, could I touch that one? And Jesus may say, that one received me. And he says, the devil says, but have you not seen that he carries an offense and has not forgiven those who have offended him? That would be an open door, body of Christ, for the Lord, through the principle of legalism, that he would have to say, have at it. Now, we have a protection, but we have to be aware of that protection, and we have to know how to fight this fight. We have to know how to put on our armor. We have to understand we have already been granted everything that is necessary to win this war, and we are in war. My husband was talking about the army of God. Do you want to be part of this army? To be the overcomers in the last days that the Lord God Almighty is searching all over the earth for. Our Lord said in John 8:28, I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. We, body of Christ, are no different. And those of you that are listening that have not yet received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is the time to do so, to become part of that great army, to understand your stance in this world. We will do well if we follow the same rule. I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. How do we get taught? We get taught by reading the Word of God, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So we would do well if we followed the same rules. So on this holy and prepared ground of Jesus, on this holy and prepared ground of Jesus, the evil spirits could not trespass. Neither can they trespass upon you if you are prepared in a right way of holiness and purity. Create in me a pure heart, O Lord, and a right spirit within me. You heard that song many times. And I believe that that is the crux of the matter. But beyond that, we must also know these evil spirits, devils, do not hover around a Christian, but they seek to enter into the soul realm and take up residence within the Christian who has left an opening through sin. Folks, it's all a matter of sin. And the devil knows he has a right under those circumstances. Why would we think differently? Remember, they are spirit, and they will enter in and connect themselves to us anywhere they have a legal right. It's all about legalities, just like what is being done today in the courtrooms of earth, trying their best to bring an upheaval in our government. There is legal rights in heaven. We copy what is above. So they will enter in and connect themselves to us anywhere they have a legal right by our permission through sin. Most of us don't even realize we're in sin when we are, because we've been so used to operating under the same circumstances continuously and reacting in the same manner, allowing sin to have its way. I've mentioned this concept of hovering spirits is not true and cannot be found in the scriptures. We can all agree that Satan can do as much more devastating job from the inside than he can by having his devil spirits just hang around or hover about like loose or lost helicopters looking for a way in. They will hover for a while to see whether or not they could come in, but they can do a much more devastating job from the inside than they can from the outside by hovering over. And that is what most Christians are taught. They are going to be accusers, watching your ways, hovering over you, but no way can they come in and do any damage to your soul. Really? The soul realm is that part of you in which the sin of Adam is manifested. Your spirit is that part of you which first needs to be renewed, born again, and made right. Your soul is that part of you, and listen to me carefully on this because it's the crux of the matter. Your soul is that part of you which needs to be restored, saved, and delivered. Restored from what? Restored from the damage of sin. Saved from what? Your sin nature. Delivered from what? Demonic presence that go from generation to generation within the bloodline since the fall of Adam. Does that make sense to you? I pray it does, because wasting breath for me is not something that I desire. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit will help you to understand the depths of what I'm talking about. And even for a deeper understanding of the functions of your spirit and soul, I suggest that you review chapter 1 in my book. It explains it thoroughly so you will have an understanding, a knowledge of what is imperative at this moment. Now, regarding these devils, these evil spirits, the first thing we must understand is that all devils are liars. I brought it up before. I will keep bringing it up. And deceivers. You're hearing an incredible amount of lies and deception at these impeachments that we have been watching, because the devil is exactly that. And he uses human beings to have his way and to control the world. That's what he's after. That's what he's looking for. One world order that he may control the world. He was looking for the same thing when he was activated in this earth during the time of Noah, and he was making headways. But the Lord did a wonderful thing, and a flood destroyed the earth and the people on it. I shouldn't say the earth per se, but the people on it. And then after that, they decided to build a temple, a huge temple, the people of the earth, that they may be of one mind, one spirit, one order, so that the devil may control. And that was the Tower of Babylon. And the devil was happy. The demons were happy. Satan was happy until Babylon was destroyed and made to go throughout the earth in different areas, that they may not be of one, because scriptures tell us that they had the power in oneness to accomplish anything they wanted to accomplish. Well, the same thing is taking place today in the one world order. And what you're seeing about impeachment has to do with that and that alone. And also, what you see in this impeachment is Satan utilizing people, individuals, evil spirits are utilizing people in individuals to cause them to lie and be deceptive. Devils are liars and deceivers, and they're using these human beings. And that's what you're really watching. Devils cannot be trusted in anything. The truth is not in them. They couldn't tell the truth if their whole beings depended on it. They are incapable. If we could grab one of these evil beings in our hands and wring it out like a dishcloth, we would not find one drop of truth in it or in them. This is something to meditate on. Think about it. You notice how he wants to interrupt at the most critical moment. Think about it. They are so separated from God, these demons, the devil, that they have nothing of value, nothing of goodness, nothing of truth in them. Zero. It is any wonder that most of the time Jesus referred to them as unclean spirits? Because I can't think of anything that would be more unclean than entities without anything of God in them. They would be capable of anything of the most horrific and ugly practices. And I can't think of anything worse to touch, let alone allow to reside within your soul in the form of sin. Because they have every right. Yet millions of Christians, out of ignorance, not that they mean to, but out of ignorance, are doing just that at this very moment. It's sad. And we have to be keenly aware of their nature if we are going to successfully engage and defeat them on the battleground of spiritual warfare in which we are in this country right now, and cast them out into dry places where they cannot return. I will be teaching on that too, so you'll understand the working of deliverance. Now, in the following chapters of my book, I'm going to instruct you from the Word on the key ways to stop Satan's attacks and how to defeat him every single time, not just some of the time, but all of the time, and to stop him from stealing from you ever again. What does he come to do? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. This is written in Scripture. Why do we ignore it in the church? Not all churches, please understand that, but in too many. However, the first thing we must do is remember and never forget that he and his devils most often come as angels of light or in some form that we have been deceived into believing is not activity from a devil, but some natural phenomena. For instance, what you see in the impeachment, many will receive it as a right situation because Satan comes as an angel of light. Not only in the work of the evil one in politics and in high government, but he'll come also as a virus. And people will think, well, that's just natural or bacteria or an epidemic, one's lifestyle or something other than what is truly demonic warfare on man. When your lifestyle is in such a manner that you get used to living in a certain way, you don't recall that this is something other than just natural living. It is demonic warfare on man. And if your lifestyle has been cruel to you and you've been used by many and you have nothing but sorrow in your life or you can't overcome anything rightfully, something is working and operating in your life. And I would tell you clearly that it is demonic warfare on you. And now, if you desire a ministry in deliverance, and some of you do, and you had best desire one if you intend to follow after Jesus and take up your cross, as he instructs us in Matthew 10:38, then you're going to have to become strong, folks, knowing the instructions of our Lord through his word so that Satan will not be able to trick and deceive you. And as I said, he comes as an angel of light. He is perfect in his deception and his work and his trickery. And he will be able to deceive you if you are not aware and not on guard and do not understand deliverance and do not have your armor on properly and rightfully. And I'm going to also teach on the armor after this so that we truly understand what the armor is. I have heard many, many directives regarding the armor and other people's understanding of it, but it goes so deep. You must be alert. You must know. Jesus warns us in Mark 13:22. Please write this down. False Christ and false prophets will arise and will show signs and wonders in order, if possible, to lead the elect astray. Is it possible? In order of to lead the elect astray? You notice that the scripture isn't saying to lead the worldly people astray. No, because they're already led astray. But it says to lead the elect astray if possible. Now, many people say, well, it's not possible. Then why is this written? Let me read it again. Mark 13:22. False Christs and false prophets will arise. Now, they're going to be used by the enemy. I want you to understand that. And will show signs and wonders. They will do great things before you. And you're going to be drawn to that. And why will this happen? Why will Satan use them? In order, if possible. In other words, if it happens, that's what that word means, to lead the elect astray. So the possibility is there. And I will prove that later. Something you will begin to learn is that many Christians do not want to get rid of indwelling evil spirits, or they will tell you that they are not ready. I have been there. That's on another note. You will find that they are either embarrassed. Okay, well, what is that? That's a spirit of pride. Where does it reside? In the soul realm. And do not want to admit their problems, generally because of some so-called position of importance or authority in a church body. I've seen this happen. Though they desperately need help, but pride won't allow it. Or they could be afraid. And what would that be? A spirit of fear. A spirit of fear. And that would reside in the soul realm. A spirit of fear that someone may find out that they have an evil spirit and need deliverance. Well, how much do we want to be cleansed and healed and made whole? We have to consider all these things and not allow pride, the sin issue, to open the door to bring us into bondage. And we must also never forget the abominable teaching, and I do call it that, that good Christians cannot have evil spirits. Now, others have excused their problems as some natural thing. Well, that would be of the flesh then. And they believe that if they do not have afflictions, they would not be as God intended them to be. We are intended to have afflictions because then we learn. Okay, I could agree with that. Judgment helps us to look and seek him in a greater capacity. But we could already understand and know and overcome and be walking in the spirit of the overcomer and full redemption to be that army of God that he's called us to be now and not continue in the afflictions. God help us. He really needs to. Unfortunately, you will find these elements in both real and so-called Christians much too often. And what am I speaking of again? That they believe that if they do not have afflictions, they would not be as God intended them to be. Well, God intends them to be overcomers, folks. He intends for you and I to be overcomers. And the world, the flesh, and the devil. I was going to say evil spirit. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, the most diabolical and tragic outcome of all, and I'm going to tell you this very soon, is seen when you have walked in agreement with evil spirits. Now, I want you to really listen to this. They have walked with evil spirits, please listen, for so long that the spirits have become an inherent part of their personalities and character. And where is that? In the soul realm. They are not aware that they have devils. I'm talking about Christians. The world is totally blind to it, totally in darkness if they haven't received Jesus Christ. I am talking about Christians. They are not aware that they have devils and therefore have no desire to change. They're doing just great. Well, they're deceived. This is the most difficult kind of situation to deal with because the people only vaguely realize their plight. And you and I must work very hard to bring them to a point of agreement. But it's worthy. It is so worthy to see them delivered and to overcome, not only in your own life, but in those you love dearly, or those in your church, or those in the workplace, to save them truly. Spirit, mind, and body, wholeness. First John, I pray that you would prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. So let's hurry and be about our Father's business. Satan has some of our brothers and sisters in such a state of deception that they are becoming comfortable with their afflictions. I see it all the time. And that's true deception, folks. We must realize that this is Satan's greatest deception in the church today. His ability to make us think that God is doing the afflicting and that it is his will to do so. It is not God's will to do so, but God allows it for greater understanding. God help us to know the truth. The truth will set us free. God bless you. And in all of what is being said today, know that my heart loves you. I want to see you free and delivered. If you're interested in my book, go to Amazon and you can order online. Please consider it for your life. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you again Thursday. God bless you.